two, one.
It's that time of the day. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning student podcast covering all things Golden Eagles. Welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show. It is your host, Smooth Oz, along with the guys. To my right, I have Charlie and Jackson. To my left, I have the Dima. Glad to have you back on this week, Dima, and not at the strip club. And
Oh my gosh.
I'm never going to hear the end of that one.
Yes, man. I'm sorry.
Might as well just go. I'll see y'all next week.
No.
At least tell us how the scenery was.
Oh, we're not going to spend too much time on that, but also I have Nathan, too. Shout out to you, Nate Dog, man. And in the booth back there, I have Sky on the production. So without further ado, just a quick overview. If you haven't been knowing or hiding under a rock, Southern Miss won its homecoming for the first time. You see the pun. For the first time since 2019 with a victory over Arkansas State, 20-19. Shout out to Charlie for pointing that out on the media reaction video that we have on the Southern Miss Student Media page. But without further ado, we also have coming up in the show a special guest in Isabella Ross, who's a part of the cross country team here on campus. She's a freshman from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. This past week, Isabella Ross would finish sixth in the Crimson Tide Invitational, as she would lead the Golden Eagles to a top-tier finish in the Crimson Tide Invitational, finishing sixth, their best ever in that Invitational. And moving on, as you all know, we have our Eagle Eye, and last but not least in the show, we're going to talk to our interviewer and have our flower section, guys. We're gonna have a flower section, so be on the lookout for that. It will be a quite interesting pick. So without further ado, let's take it away, Dima, with our Eagle Eye.
Yeah, so cross country in action, as we just talked about. Isabella Ross, who we're fixing to have on the show in just a couple minutes, she led the Golden Eagles cross country team with a sixth place finish at the Crimson Classic in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The team posted 153 points for the best finish at the Crimson Classic in program history. Aaron Phelps got 14th place, Carlin Bill got 35th place, and Sarah Parnell got 49th. The Southern Miss will return to action October 29th for the Sun Belt Championships in Foley, Alabama, on October 29th. So that's next weekend.
Already the end of the season for cross country.
Wow.
Talking volleyball here, Southern Miss Volleyball did not have their best outing against Texas State, one of the hottest teams in the Sun Belt. The Bobcats swept Southern Miss in the opening match and decided the game in the fourth set Saturday to earn the series sweep and win their seventh straight match. Bobcats are now 15-5 with a 7-1 conference record that has them atop the Sun Belt West. The best news for the Golden Eagles is that Mia Wesley reached 1,000 career kills on Saturday. So congratulations
for her.
Even when Southern Miss Volleyball does bad, Mia Wesley does good. She's truly a star. Southern Miss returns home to host Arkansas State October 21st and 22nd, and the Golden Eagles currently sit at fourth in the West with a 4-4 conference record.
Bunch of fours. We like it.
Yes.
Moving on to tennis, we had some we had some tennis action this weekend. Both the men's and women's tennis team headed to Baton Rouge to compete in the ITA Southern Regionals Tournament. And shout out to Hannah Chambers and Alyssa Richter, who made it to the round of 16 in doubles competition. So they got really far. And two Golden Eagles, Suhana Das and Claire Tardavel, made it to the singles round of 32 on the women's side. So congrats to them for their performances.
And now heading to the best sport ever, golf. Men's golf finished fourth at Oregon State Invitational last week as sophomore Ryan Dupuy led the Golden Eagles with a fifth-place finish. They have returned to action today, actually, at the Little Rock Invitational. Women's golf finished fifth at the Lady Red Wolves Classic, led by Elena Melick, 9th place finish, and Jackie Fields at 11th place. They will not return until October 31st when they host the Judson at the Hattiesburg Country Club.
Some Halloween golf. That sounds fun. I wonder if they'll dress up or something.
Ooh.
We will. Golf as ghosts. We're going to be live, so foreshadowing that. But on the soccer, the Golden Eagles have continued a disappointing debut in the Sun Belt Conference after dropping another match Sunday, 8-1 against South Alabama. It was Southern Miss's first loss to South Alabama in soccer since 2015. Bernadette Stephon, though, she did score a goal to avoid a shutout, and the Golden Eagles are now 1-4 and 2 in conference play with only 4 games remaining in the regular season. They will take on Appalachian State this Thursday, October 20. The match time has actually been moved up to 2 p.m., and the Mountaineers are 3-4 in conference play, so they're looking to get back in that win column as well.
Of course, Southern Miss soccer isn't doing as well as they did last year, so hopefully they can finish out strong. But without further ado, we're moving on to our football side of things as we have our weekly wrap as Southern Miss defeated the Arkansas State Red Wolves 20-19. Take it away, Nathan.
I'm just glad we won. You know, like, we're 3-3. You know what I'm saying? We wasn't picked to win very many games this year, and we're at the halfway mark, and we got 3. And that's what it means to me.
From another great defensive performance to another quarterback change, the Golden Eagles still found a way to capture a much-needed win over the Arkansas State Red Wolves. The game would start slow as freshman quarterback Zach Wilkie struggled, throwing 2 interceptions in the first half. Still, Wilkie was able to get the Eagles on the board with a passing touchdown to Jason Brownlee for his 4th of the season. After 2 punts to start the second half, head coach Will Hall had to make some changes. This led to sophomore Jake Lang taking over the offense. Will Hall talks about that decision.
I thought it gave us the best chance to win the game. Zach is a really talented, really good player. He's turned the ball over a lot here recently. I thought he was a little emotional early. Thought that's why the ball was high on him. He's a really accurate passer that was missing high because he was so into it. He wants to do so good. He understands. He's got the weight of the world on him right now. Like, we've got the most passionate fan base in America. I don't care what nobody says. You've been at Penn State. You see it every day. Like, our fans are passionate now. And our fans, I love them, okay? And he's got the weight of the world on him right now, okay? Because he feels like, you know, that it's my fault and his fault. And just felt like we had to remove him from it for a second, let Jake come in. Let him catch his breath. And, you know, Jake's a guy that's going to do exactly what the play call says. Okay? Like, he knows offense. He's going to be a great coach. He is going to do exactly what it is.
After a costly safety, Lang then led the offense to 2 straight touchdown drives to take their first lead of the game. The defense closed the show after that, forcing a turnover on downs, leading to the Golden Eagles' 20-19 win. Nathan Lee, 4 Street Sports.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Nathan. As stated before, it was a heck of a win, 20-19. You could not ask for a better game. I know it kind of seemed down the stretch like it was out of the Golden Eagles' hands, but to be down from 19-7 going into the fourth quarter was, to come back like that was truly amazing to watch. And just hats off to Jake Lang for stepping in there and having those 2 big drives that was capped off by Janari Dean touchdown to take the lead and win the game right there. But, man, just what a game, guys. Just give me some of your thoughts on what did you guys see and how did the game just change when Lang came into the game right there?
I mean, right when he came into the game, it was like, uh-oh. Because, I mean, Mason Hunt on, you know, got pushed to the back of the end zone and then just coughed up the ball. And it was like, oh, what are we watching kind of thing. People started to leave the stands. But then after that, just 2 straight solid drives of what they couldn't do the whole game. And, I mean, I don't think anybody was expecting that. But they got it done, which, I mean, that's the story, really, is that Jake Lang got in there and did what he needed to do. I think Coach Hall was saying, you know, they knew that they could put him in there and he could do what he was supposed to do and help them get back in that game, which he did.
Yeah, exactly. Will Hall, after the game, he said that Jake Lang is going to execute the play exactly how it's supposed to be ran. And he said that Zach Wilkie's going to be a really good player, but he is a true freshman, right? And that comes with a lot of nerves, seeing as that he was in high school last year. So a lot of his throws were missing high, which is kind of a sign of nerves. And so that was the case. Some poor throws were made. You put in Jake Lang, who's cool, calm, and collected. He has been there before, and he was able to stabilize the offense. He didn't do anything amazing, really. I believe it was, what, 6 of 12, 45 yards passing?
The first first down run, though. We can talk about that. Yeah, he showed them legs.
Yeah, it was third and long near the goal line, and then Will Hall called him Twinkle Toes. He made it a fourth and two, and then they called timeout, and then they hit Cole Cavallo, a guy who really hasn't been frequently targeted this year, made a clutch play. Next play, Janari Dean takes it in from 6, so really, you look at Jake Lang, he's just the consummate professional. He's going to do what you want him to do, and that's exactly what Southern Miss needed.
Yeah, I'm going to take you back in the game. So Southern Miss calls a timeout on their own 4, right, and they're down 17-7. And then they call a timeout, they get called for a delay of game, and then Mason Hunt drops the punt, and it goes out in the back of the end zone. So they punt it, a free kick back to Arkansas State. Arkansas State has it on the 30. And then they're on the 50-yard line, up 12, and Southern Miss's defense forces a very, very important stop at the end of the third quarter. Southern Miss gets the ball back on the 5, and Jake Lang takes this offense on the longest scoring drive for Southern Miss all season in under 3 minutes. Wow. It's 9 plays, 95 yards, 2 minutes and 58 seconds. And that is exactly when it was all the momentum shifted after that. And then once, in my opinion, once the defense, the momentum is shifted and the whole game is relying on the defense to get a stop, the defense is going to get a stop. Very, like, almost automatic 3-and-out. Quentin Bivens got the sack. James Blackman, they punted it right back to Southern Miss. And now you're like, can the offense, and this is the question we've been asking all season, when the defense puts the offense in an opportunity to win the game, are they going to be able to do it? And they did it on Saturday night. And I think it was really encouraging for Southern Miss fans to see that for 3 quarters, Southern Miss was dead. There was nothing coming from the offense outside of that one drive that they scored on. There was nothing coming from the offense. But when it mattered the most, the offense made it happen. Now, is it an argument now that was that because of Jake Lang, or was that, or with the absence of Zach Wilkie, or if Zach Wilkie was in the game, would he have done the same thing? I don't know. It's an interesting question. It's a question that Will Hall's going to have to ask himself this week about really who starts Saturday at Texas State. But the bottom line is what we've been talking about all season on our preview pods, on this, on the 4th Street, on 5. When the defense puts the offense in a position to win the game, are they going to be able to do it? They did it on Saturday night, and can they continue to do it? And what do y'all think? Is it because Jake Lang was in? Like, would the same result have happened with Zach Wilkie in?
Just with the way the game was going, I don't think so. And that's nothing on Zach Wilkie. I think it was just, like Coach said, he probably got, you know, he said something similar after he threw an interception at the beginning of the game. It just kind of affected how he played after, because he wasn't hitting guys, even if they were open. He was, you know, going over their heads or to the side. And I think he just realized that. But, you know, I don't know if making that move, you know, you expected to win the game after that. It was like, let's just try to prevent damage, because Arkansas State is a team that hasn't really forced many turnovers the whole year. I think they came in this game maybe with two. I might be wrong there, but they hadn't, two. And they also have only given up the ball away 2 times. So when you're playing a team like that, if you're losing the turnover differential, it's going to be very hard to win the game. So I think that it was just the kind of smart decision. Okay, what can we do to minimize damage?
What that told me is that the Southern Miss Golden Eagles, they love them some Jake Lang, right? I think the teammates really rallied around him, because they weren't really able to run the ball effectively for the first 3 quarters. And all of a sudden that 4th quarter hits and they're breaking off 30-yard runs like it's nothing. In fact, on 3rd and 10, they hand off to Frank Gore and he scores a touchdown to make it 1 score, which kind of gets, you know, left in the dust a little bit. But Jake Lang, he didn't do anything spectacular. He did exactly what he had to do. He's not the most electric guy, but in that moment, he gave Southern Miss exactly what they needed to win. And they didn't have the juice with Zach Wilkie in there, yes. But Jake Lane came in there and they got the juice.
I think that's an excellent point to state too, Jackson, was that the team seemed demoralized, mm-hmm. but when Lane came in, there was that spark plug and the spark that they needed to get over the top because, you know, beforehand, it was 10-7 at halftime. You look at it, you stated this before, Charlie, on the immediate reaction video, but I totally agree. You look at it, and it was one of those statements where it's like, it's 10-7 at half. This is another Southern Miss game where the offense completely just flattens, and the defense gives up a touchdown or two, and the opponent takes the win. But, you know, eventually, you know, in the end, they fought back and got this win. And that, you know, from a fan standpoint and also from a journalist standpoint, it's kind of a relief just to see those type of things happen, and you're asking yourself, you know, it was Arkansas State, maybe not one of the best teams in the Sun Belt, but it was a standpoint where you can sit down and say, this was one of those games where they came over that controversy and came over the top of that obstacle. So I thought that was a relief to see that, being that the defense had kept them in the game the whole game. But it felt like one of those games where the defense kept them in the game, but the offense would not be able to prevail. But for Will Hall to make that gutsy call to go with Lang right there when, you know, Zach Wilkie had been the guy. From my standpoint right now, he still is the guy. But for Lang to come in and do what he did, that took a lot of poise. And it also took just the guy being ready. And Lang talked about being ready. And he talked about his story from high school on up into climbing up the ranks to becoming a starter, you know, in his own unique way. So I think it had a lot of interesting things. And it was very it was good to see, specifically, you know, the offense getting something together in that run game. You know, this was probably one of the best rushing games that Southern Miss had. And to bring in Janari Dean and have him compliment Frank Gore, even though he ran for 9 yards. I mean, he had 9 carries for 43 yards. But it was good to see the two-back set. And it was good to see the yin and the yang right there to give Frank Gore some of the attention off of him, even though Frank Gore almost rushed for 100 yards. So I think that was good to see that offense just excel in the way that it did when it seemed like it was just another game Southern Miss was about to lose.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed straight off the bat is they were trying to get more people involved. It felt like, yes. Like the first handoff was actually to Chandler Pittman, like mm-hmm. I said. And then you just saw Tyquan Mims. I know that was also probably because of Cashman going down, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's his kind of breakout game on the season. But also right before we go, just a huge shout-out to the defense for what they were able to do. Came in really clutch, like Dean was saying, 4 sacks. But also guys like Jay Stanley, Santrell Latham, Dalen Gill, all making impact games, impact plays. I think just another all-around solid performance. We were seeing kind of more of the stuff giving up stuff over the middle, but overall they came in clutch when needed.
They did. Any last thoughts before we move on, guys?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be interesting this week just to see in practice especially just what the reps look like this week between Zach and Jake. And we will be there, Jackson and I, for both of them. So just be looking for those updates on Twitter and stuff.
It shall be interesting. But without further ado, we're going to take our 4th Street break and be back with our special interview with Isabella Ross, a freshman cross-country runner from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We're going to talk to her after her 6th-place finish, guys, at the Crimson Invitational this past week. We'll be back with more on 4th Street. Let's get it.
4th Show on Southern Miss Radio. This is the 4th Street Sports Show on Southern Miss Radio.
Welcome back to 4th Street. You have now entered our special interview with Isabella Ross from Cross Creek, Wisconsin. She just recently finished 6th in the Crimson Classic Invitational. How are you doing, Isabella?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on with us. It's definitely a blessing to have you on with us today. But could you please just walk us through that event of finishing 6th? I know your previous was, through the season, previous high was finishing 12. Now you finish in the top 10. What does that feel like as a freshman coming in and just acclimating yourself as a phenomenal runner so far this season?
Well, it was pretty cool to finish top 10. I'm a pretty competitive person, so I guess I wasn't really, like, thinking about place. You just kind of go in there and you kind of just compete, and then wherever you end up is kind of where you end up. But it's been good. Training has been good. And I think I owe a lot of it to my teammates who have been pushing me in practice and a good coach who has been creating really good workouts.
Okay. I mean, first time in the top 10, like Austin was saying, you know, you're saying you're not really fixed on place when you're running, but what was that moment like, you know, when you first crossed the line and heard what place you finished? Were you kind of going in expecting that you could get that spot?
I guess, no, not really, because this was the first 6K of the season, so our coach kind of just told us, hey, just go out there, have some fun. Don't really worry about the place. It's just, you're just kind of seeing how the 6K is. So I didn't really have an expectation as far as place. Now, time is usually a little bit more of a bigger deal, especially in cross country, just because there's so many other runners. So usually you're trying to go for a faster time. And as far as like the 6K time, I ran pretty well. I didn't really drop much pace off of like my 5K race to the 6K, so that was kind of like the biggest indicator of where my fitness was. So I was pretty pleased, and then just knowing that I got top 10 was just an added on bonus to that.
Yeah, and you know, if you saw me running a 6K, I'd probably be hobbling over about the 100th feet. But what's the difference compared to, like, the 6K and 5K, you know? Like, in your terms, like, what's the difference between that and how does it impact you? And maybe approaching that as far as getting prepared, getting physically and conditionally prepared.
Yeah. So a 5K and a 6K, I mean, the difference is it's a K longer. So it's a little bit over 800 meters. So it's just under 4 miles of a race. So, I mean, honestly, our coach does a really good job of preparing us for both the 5 and 6K because we run a lot of miles. So it's not really that big of a jump. Just the biggest thing is you want to have a good finish, and there's workouts that can you can do that work on that. So that's kind of the biggest thing.
You kind of steadily improved your time each event, you know, just only 3 events through the season. Kind of what do you attribute to how you've been able to kind of improve your times and just so far, you know, what you've been doing here at Southern Miss that might have helped you achieve that?
Yeah. So I guess the biggest thing is just being consistent with the work that you put in, whether that be at practice, with what the coach tells you, like making sure you're getting enough sleep, getting enough food for all those miles that you're running. So a lot of it is just comes down to consistency and like being diligent with just training. And then as far as like for me personally, coming out of high school, I was a decent runner in my high school, so I had a lot of pressure, I feel like, in high school. So coming into college, I felt like I lost a lot of that pressure because, you know, there's not as much expectations. You're just going to go out there and do your best. And I would say that kind of just really contributed. And then for me, too, probably the most important thing is my faith. So just knowing where, like, my hope is found. It's not in athletics. It's in God. So that just really helped me perform to the best of my ability.
It sounds like you're pretty confident and just, you know your game. But we talked to some runners before who have said they've kind of had some pre-race jitters, especially like as a freshman. I think Lena said she had some jitters before, you know, one of her big races. Have you had to handle that? And, you know, how have you combated that so far in your first couple races?
Yeah, I mean, everyone gets nervous, I think, before a race. I feel like if you didn't, that wouldn't be a good thing. But I guess I kind of just use that as like a positive. I feel like nerves kind of help you in the start, especially once the gun goes off. Like I honestly kind of don't really think about anything else. You kind of just get into that mindset. Okay, I'm gonna compete and I want to help my team out. So that's what I do.
And just to allude to that of that anxiousness, because I also was a track runner myself.
Yeah.
Well, not cross country, but track. But just talk about that. You talked about, like, the anxiousness, but allude to, like, how much does that carry you just to get out to that strong start right there to begin and just how, you know, how that develops you to finish strong.
Yeah. So I guess, like, the nerves kind of help me out in the race because you can have that adrenaline. So when that gun goes off, you're just kind of just, like, lasered focused on getting out good and getting out fast. So I guess that's kind of where the nerves kind of play into doing well in a race. It just kind of makes you a little bit more focused than if you were to, you know, show up at practice. So yeah.
I play basketball for, you know, a long time in my life. and you've been running since you were in the third grade, right? So what for me, for basketball, I just loved it. But like for you, what was that moment where you first got in the sport and you just loved to run and just being able to do it and continue to do it all the way to now?
Yeah, so I mean, I started out like doing a lot of other sports like soccer, basketball, softball. So running wasn't the first thing I did, but as I got older, I had people kind of just tell me like, "Hey, you should try running out. I think you'd be decent at it."
Yeah.
So I did give it a try, and I enjoyed it. So I kind of just added that on to all the other sports that I was doing. And then once I got into middle school, that's when I started to kind of become more committed into getting better at it.
Talking about that transition from high school to college, obviously two completely different stages. So how much did your training change or increase going from high school to college?
Yeah, so it jumped up quite a bit, but I think that I was prepared well by my high school coaches, which I'm really thankful for. So the biggest thing is just the volume of mileage that I do in a week. It's been a lot higher for a lot longer than what I did in high school. But other than that, I'm someone who does enjoy like the longer distances. So I was accustomed to doing like 12-mile days or 14-mile days. So it was just a matter of being more consistent with that.
And cross country kind of strikes me as a sport where if you skip a day, that's really gonna set you back. Would you agree?
So I feel like there's some leeway with that, but I mean, for the most part, yeah, I mean, you don't want to skip your runs because, mm-hmm. I mean, that helps you get better. But if you're injured or feeling tired, it's not a bad thing to kind of back off a day or two. But yeah, for the most part.
And we know people are probably going to want to know your name because it seems like you're going to be a name in the news for Southern Miss coming up. But just a little bit about your background from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We got to know, how did you make the jump from Wisconsin to Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
So it wasn't my first pick or really on the radar at all. But the coach, Coach Gibson, he's the one who kind of reached out. Kind of out of the blue after a high school race, and was just kind of pretty persistent on asking me if I was interested, and eventually I decided to come take a look at Southern Miss after looking at some other options in the Midwest, and I was kind of surprised. I really enjoyed it, and this was a decision that I had to spend a lot of time praying about, but ultimately it was a opportunity that God really provided in, and now I'm here, so I really am glad I made that decision.
Of course, and you literally crossed the country.
Oh,
of course, from the north to the south, but could you explain just the atmosphere here from just from here to Wisconsin and just maybe the temperature change or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the biggest thing is the humidity for me. Mm. I remember the first couple of weeks, like, some of my afternoon runs, I was just, like, dying because it was just so humid. It was like I couldn't even breathe. But, yeah, so the biggest thing was the humidity and the heat. But, like, right now it's, like, perfect. Like, I'm, like, all my family at home are, like, in winter coats, and it snowed this morning in Oak Creek, so I'm liking it right now.
How cold does it normally get up there?
So I know, like, this morning it was, like, 30 degrees and, like, 15-degree wind chill, but it'll get into the low single digits negative wind chill.
So what would you rather do? Would you rather run in Wisconsin in December or run in July in Mississippi? What's harder?
I think July in Mississippi I would rather do, just because I hate the ice, I hate the snow. So, yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to get out of Wisconsin.
I wish we could
probably see a little bit less snow down here.
Yeah.
The weird thing is that, I don't know if you've seen, you're going to be getting some of that Wisconsin weather. It's going to be 34 Wednesday. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do, but you're probably like, yes. But just speaking more about that transition, you know, that's a pretty big jump. Just how has the experience been so far for you at Southern Miss? Just, you know, right past midterms, just how have you liked the campus, you know, teammates, mm-hmm. and just overall, how has your life been out here?
Yeah, I think it's been good. It's been pretty good, yeah. So the transition was good. I have four younger siblings, so I'm the first one in my family to go to college, and going kind of far away was a big adjustment at first, but I had my teammates, so right there I had like friends already like in college that I could, you know, talk with and get to know better. So I like my team a lot. And then finding a church was also something that was really important to me, which I did. And I've met people through there and have gotten involved in like Bible studies. So that's also been good. And then classes, I have no complaints as far as classes. My academic advisor has been really good with scheduling around, you know, practice and meets. So, and professors are so far pretty understanding when I miss class, but it's been a good transition, and I like it here.
Of course, and just to just talk about some of the welcoming people that have just helped you along life here in Southern Miss. Could you just talk about some of your teammates, maybe, or somebody that's really meant a lot to you, just making that transition right there?
Yeah, so I think, well, yeah, my teammates are probably one of the biggest ones. I have someone that I run with, like me and her are kind of like our training partners. We do most of our workouts and runs together. Her name's Erin Phelps. I think she's a graduate student here at Southern Miss, doing the same major as me. So it's kind of nice having her because she's, you know, a little bit older. So she's been someone that I like to talk with, and yeah, and then my coach and just all the girls on the team are really easy to talk with and communicate with, and I really appreciated that.
And Izzy, coming up already, we were like, wow, it's already Sun Belt Championships. Yes. Do you know if you're going to be running in that? And just overall, just how are you getting prepared for that event?
Yeah. So, I should be running in it if I'm not injured or if all goes well. I'm looking forward to that. And then as far as preparation, we're getting into the point of the season where mileage will start to kind of cut back a little bit. Just trying to get your legs a little bit more fresh for the bigger meets. But other than that, it's not much is really changing. Still going to train, got to run. And then we're hoping to bring home a conference championship.
And has coach or just like have you really thought about, you know, first year Southern Miss and the Sun Belt, you know, what are kind of the nerves or, you know, expectations going into that event?
Yeah. So I know the expectation and goal for our team is to win that meet. It can be a lot of pressure if you kind of think about it like that. But at the end of the day, you can only control what you can control. So for me, my mindset is to just kind of go in there and do my best. And whatever the outcome is, you know, the outcome. So that's kind of how I'm going to approach that.
All right. And I will just add one last thing just about the championships, just a quick overview of the team so far. So,
yeah.
And y'all, in the cross country's first three meets in the North Alabama Showcase, you finished 6 out of 39. In the Tilly Pepper Festival in Fayetteville, Arkansas, you finished 2 out of 31. And just last week, 6 out of 21. Just talk to me in a little bit in you gals' heads and probably Coach Dix, Coach Gibson's head. Tell me, where do you feel like that you stand right now in this conference right now, heading into that Sun Belt Championship?
Yeah, I think we're pretty competitive. I think we've put together quite a few good races as a team, and I think if we just continue to work as a team and continue to put in that work and be diligent about the little things, we have a pretty good shot to have a good showing at this race.
Of course. And I think that was the cue right there. Sky played a little California love. But without further ado, thank you for coming on. Isabella Ross from Oak Creek. Oak Creek, Wisconsin. A freshman here who's had a phenomenal start to the season. Hopefully you guys finish strong in the season, and we wish you nothing but blessings. We'll be back with our flower section in a minute. Thank you for coming on, Isabella.
Thank you.
Dogs, that's really what it is, bro.
This is 4th Street, and we got Mo Dogs on 88.5 this year. Yo.
ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
Welcome back to the flowers section, brought to you by University Florist, located on US Highway 49. I'm thinking of USA, South Alabama. Hey, USA to the top, baby.
Austin needs to get some
brought
sleep.
To you by University Florist and Gifts. I will state that again. If you are on our live stream, we have our special flowers right here. Or if you're listening on the radio station, we have some nice tulips, and I don't know what those are, actually. Now, what are these right here, bro? They're like greenish, bro. But we do have pink roses, though. Those are beautiful. But we
why
have,
does it look like a tulip?
I don't know what that is, bro.
All right. This is why Austin is not our flower specialist.
Yes, this is why I'm not your flower specialist. So if somebody would like to help me on what are these green mountaintop
I'm not a botanist. I don't know. I'm talking about
sports. I know University Florist and Gifts could, though. We thank them for the beautiful arrangement this week.
Yes.
And it's going to a very special someone.
Yes, a very special someone on the football team.
What?
And it's going to none other than, drum roll please, Jake Lang.
Dog.
Shout out to Jake Lang for his performance in helping the Golden Eagles come back from down 19-7 in the fourth quarter, having two phenomenal drives.
Dog.
Jake Lang would go 6 for 12 on 45 yards passing and would have 6 yards rushing. And like I said, led two TD drives for a comeback win. And at the end, what do we say, guys?
Dog.
Hey, I will say really quickly, his most important stat is that 6 yards rushing.
Yes.
That it was honestly the play. It could have been 4th and 14, and he turned it into 4th and 3.
Yes, that was a highlight. Dog. He hurt somebody. I heard it was phenomenal.
Yeah, he compared it to Ohio State Clemson.
I don't know if Dima agrees.
What happened in that game?
I don't know, Jackson. You can go look it up on YouTube. It was on USA Highway.
It was a fumble.
Yeah, it was on the USA Highway.
It was on the USA Highway.
The ball is still rolling, bro.
That was a fumble, not an incomplete pass, by the way. Thank you.
Oh, man. Yes. So, shout out to Jake Lang for that. And now we'll go into our honorable mention section.
Yes, somebody put no Frank Gore. And yeah, Frank Gore could make the list every week pretty much. But he really got back into his rhythm, I feel like, this week. He had that 31-yard touchdown, I think, and which was a great run. Broke some couple of tackles. So, obviously, Frank Gore, somebody said Southern Miss needs to build a statue for him. He's gotten some pretty high praise for his performance this week. Also, who I would have picked, a little biased here, just because I really saw him all over the field, was Jay Stanley. Obviously, Jake Lang, you know, leading the two touchdown drives, but Jay Stanley on defense, which really kept them in the game. He had a team tied team high for 8 tackles, also got a sack and a pass breakup, I think, on the last play, actually. I think that was his pass breakup. So, awesome job for Jay Stanley. He's really been coming up these last few weeks. And also, I've been saying Southern Miss needs to get some other running backs involved. And you saw what Denari Dean could do. You were saying that was nice to see. And it was nice to see him rush for 43 yards and that game-winning touchdown, which was also just shout-out to the offensive line for blocking on that play. It was really good. And then also in our votes was Isabella Ross for finishing 6th place, and again we thank her for coming on. She went from 23rd, 12th to 6th. Maybe we can see a top 5 finish.
Top
3, I don't know. Lots of good runners in the Sun Belt, but just a great year so far for the freshmen.
Yes, and it's just phenomenal to see a freshman come in and just excel the way she has. That is just truly special in itself, and just to continuously develop and get better after each race is phenomenal in itself. But like you said, Charlie, shout out to all those special people and honorable mentions. Like you said, just going back to Janari Dean, it was good to see him. He averaged 4.8 yards a carry, almost 5 yards a carry. So that was
great to see also. So there was a lot of good things to take away from this game, especially in the rushing game and defensively for the Golden Eagles, and just a phenomenal comeback on what better day to do it on homecoming.
Yeah,
it was so important.
It was important to see that. So without further ado, that has been 4th Street. I will leave you guys with something to take us out. Either one of you guys.
The Cowboys lost. Rush hour is over.
Yeah, I mean, the rush hour was... I mean, it is the end of rush hour. It is 5:55, man. We got 5 more minutes. So.
I'd say it ended at about 8:30 last night.
Oh, man.
When I checked the score and it was 20-0, it was like, oh, I bet Austin's probably headed to Brewskies at this point.
Yeah, I've only been to Brewskies one time, surprisingly. But
I've never been to a strip club, surprisingly.
Hey, that's cap. Kids say cap.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to give him the side eye. Jackson side eye is hilarious. But y'all, for them, dude.
Speaking
man.
Of Jackson side eye, if you have a chance, go look at that post game video.
Yes.
In the stadium, yes. Jackson looked like that.
That was probably the meme of the year behind really Charlie's surprise and look in the Will All interview. But without further ado, as I already stated that, make sure to check us out on Southern Miss Student Media. Make sure to check out our videos, the post game interviews if you have not watched them, the immediate reaction videos, and our prediction and projection video that is dropping this upcoming Friday. Be sure to do that, and also check it out on the podcast, which it will drop on all your favorite podcast platforms. So we'll be back next week. This is 4th Street, baby. We're out.
Peace. 3, 2, 1. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next Monday at 5.